Joining us now is our Denver Broncos insider, Troy Rank, brought to you by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. And Troy, of course, you were on air earlier today, and I want to allude back to something you had said. I was listening on my way, and you had talked about the Broncos offense essentially being a picket fence Hoosiers type of offense in a day where offenses are so much more modern. What would you like to see this defense do, or pardon me, the offense do, in order to modernize?
Well, I mean, they need to use more RPO concepts, even if it's just as disguised. They have to use the screen game more. And you can be a creative offense even if you are a run team first, which I think they're going to be. We keep talking about how the quarterbacks have to get better and get better. Well, what if they can't? And then I think the easy fallback answer to that is you've got to run the heck out of the football. But within that, then you can do play action. You can do bootleg. You can do stuff. And you've got to use your backs out of the backfield. And the final thing is, in the red zone, Noah Fant's got to be a factor. I mean, I don't know how you got to get him involved. You got to go to two tight end sets to set that up. But you have to find a way to make him a factor in the red zone. Because just lining it up and being old school and not being creative, they're not going to get to where they need to go, which I continue to say is 25 points a game.
Troy, and we're joined by Troy Rank. Noah Fant, what are your expectations for Noah Fant this year?
I mean, if you ask me, the guys I expect to break out, you know, breakout stars, Jerry Jeudy, for me, I remain bullish on him, but let's take him out of the equation. Noah Fant, in his first 2 years as a tight end for the Broncos, they're as good as any they've had in franchise history, Shannon Sharp included, because Shannon didn't play much his first season. But Noah, for me, can be 850 yards and six touchdowns. The issue is the touchdowns. He's been getting the catches for the most part. I mean, there's games it's frustrating to see that he's not part of the kind of the plan. But if he doesn't get X number of targets, I need him to get six touchdowns. He had three last year. There's no reason with his size and his body type he can't box people out in the end zone. I know it's not perfect. He's still a learning player, but he's motivated. He's athletic. He's, you know, hell-bent on becoming one of the top 10 tight ends. And there's nothing really that should keep him from being that if you look at his skill set. But you've got a game plan for him some, too. You can't just throw it to him three times and expect him to make two huge plays. There's got to be an emphasis in certain games to get him eight targets and a couple in the red zone.
Talking to our Denver 7 Broncos insider, Troy Rank. You can follow him on Twitter, at Troy Rank. And Troy, you mentioned earlier using the backs out of the backfield. When the Broncos added Melvin Gordon prior to last season, one of the very specific skills that he had was catching out of the backfield. The presumption was that Pat Shurmur, our offensive coordinator, was going to use that, and he really didn't use it as any sort of consistent weapon. Why do you believe they might do it more this year?
Well, I think they realize they have to. I mean, no team was worse in the NFL last year in throwing to their backs than the Broncos. They didn't trust Philip Lindsay. I thought it was unfair, but the reality was, when you look at the stat sheet, and there was like five games where he played, he wasn't even targeted. So that's part of what happened with Philip is every time he was in the game, they knew they were running or throwing to someone besides him, and they could eliminate him as a factor in the passing game. Melvin Gordon averaged 50 catches a year for 3 years before coming to Denver. There's no reason he can't catch 50 passes. And it doesn't have to be screens. Some of the blame falls on Pat Shurmur. He's the guy calling plays. Some of it was on Drew Lock not having the patience to just go to the dump down and say, okay, that's not open here. There, check it down to the running back. Let him get you 6 yards on a little dump down. They've got to use that more. They've got to find ways to get easy yards. There's just times it feels like they're, you know, it's calculus out there when it should be algebra. I mean, why are we making the game so hard? Throw it to a back, let him get 6 yards in second and four instead of trying to force it into double coverage, and now it's second and 10 from your own 20, and here we go again, playing behind the sticks and off schedule.
Troy, looking at training camp battles, training camp storylines, outside of the quarterback competition, what are you most looking forward to seeing?
Well, I mean, the other competitions are right tackle. They've got to get this figured out. When I said on the morning show, I mean, you can't. They've had more right tackles than Spinal Tap had drummers.
Oh, there it goes again. There it goes, Troy. I didn't know what Spinal Tap was.
Did you ever watch that movie? Did you ever watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I will at some point before I die, hopefully. But I didn't know what Spinal Tap was. I thought it was a band.
Well, at least they're not spontaneously combusting.
I got it, but it's that movie, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's the movie.
So now
you would find it fun. Knowing you, Stoke, I'm not saying it's any movie you would even put in your top 20. You would find that movie funny.
Okay, it's a must watch for me now.
It's so stupid, it's funny. I'm just telling you. And they need to figure out the right tackle. Is that Bobby Massey? Is he healthy? I hope so. I know he wants to be in Denver. He's spent a lot of time in Denver even before he came here. So hopefully it's him. He's the best of the group for me. They've got a safety blanket in Cam Fleming and even Calvin Anderson, but they need to figure that out. But what I'll be watching for, I want to see, I know you've talked about this, Brandon, Pat Surtain, I'm telling you, I'm very curious what it looks like, because I just don't think he's going to be a sub-package guy. There's going to be a lot of Pat Surtain on the field making plays. It might be, he's going to get beat here and there. I'm not saying he's going to be perfect, but he's a difference maker. And I want to see Javonte Williams. He's not going to win the job for me early, and Melvin Gordon's got a chip on his shoulder, and Javonte is desperate to prove, hey, thanks for moving up for me in the second round. But Javonte runs with evil intentions. He looks to hurt you and punish you, and I want to see what that looks like in the preseason, because I think the combination of the two actually could work. It never worked with Phillip and Melvin. I actually think it could work with these two.
Going back to the point you made with Pat Surtain, obviously they spent a lot of money to bring Ronald Darby in. They were basically taking advantage of the fact that Kyle Fuller became available. They added him. Bryce Callahan is on the last year of his deal. If Surtain really steps up as you expect him to, and I do as well, who's the odd man out? I mean, presumably it can't be Darby with the long-term deal at $10 million plus, right?
Yeah, it's not Darby, because he can play man, and I assume he can play zone. But he's a little more versatile. Fuller's the one that's the X factor, because a couple of years ago under Vic Fangio, he was arguably the best cornerback in the league. He wasn't that last year. They let him go to Chicago because of money, but they weren't trying to work it out and re-sign him. He didn't play great last year. Now I have every reason to think getting back with Fangio should help, but we got to see it. Callahan was a Pro Bowl caliber player, but for 10 games, and he got hurt again. I mean, Bryce's issue is really related to one thing, health. So you asked me who they would move on from. I mean, I think Callahan's vulnerable because of his health, and Fuller's vulnerable because of his play last year. And obviously, if Vic Fangio isn't the coach next year, one or both those guys might be gone, because they came here as a direct tie to Coach Fangio.
Troy, last one for me here. Defensively, I mean, everything looks pretty you look at it and you can pretty much say every spot that who's going to be filling that spot. Secondary, you just mentioned, you might have Surtain in for one of these other guys or something like that. But is there one spot that you could say whether it's a Josie Jewell being replaced by Sternot or somebody like that, or on the defensive line, is there a spot that you could maybe forecast that, man, this might be a surprise where this guy jumps that guy?
Well, I mean, again, between Alexander and Josie Jewell, they both do things well, but they didn't complement each other great last year. They both stopped the run well. Neither was ideal in pass coverage, put it that way. So could Baron Browning or Justin Sernott be the niche player in coverage against tight ends or against tight ends or running backs? Maybe. How does that look then? If Browning excels, I mean, this is a former five-star recruit, one of the top high school players in the country, and he excelled at Ohio State at different times, but they were moving him around so much. If he just focuses on inside backer, can he be the niche guy? Is he healthy? He had a bone bruise in his knee. I don't know that. But what I would say, Stoke, is because of their personnel on the back end with these cornerbacks and with Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons, they should have more scheme flexibility to take more chances, to blitz, to play a little more man, to do things that they didn't trust to do because they couldn't cover. They just were, getting guys off the street to play cornerback. So there's something that's going to happen with this defense, I feel, just like it did last year in New England where Vic started blitzing Coach Fangio. I think we're going to see more scheme flexibility. So maybe that brings in a Browning. Maybe that brings in a Sternod. Maybe it brings in Alexander Johnson more as a blitz backer, and they use him to make plays like he did 2 years ago. I do think there's going to be some scheme flexibility that we didn't see last year.
Last one for you, Troy. Looking at all those draft picks, after the draft, we heard George Payton talk specifically about how this player has a nice set of skills, but they're going to be good on special teams. The Broncos special teams have been problematic for years and years. At this point, was it really a wise move to use these lower draft picks with the idea of getting them into special teams immediately? And how much could that make a difference for the Broncos?
Well, part of the problem with special teams, again, they've been atrocious for the better part of 4 years. And a team that's trying to get back to a winning record can't die in the margins. And they have been so bad in the margins. And at the very least, their special teams needs to be neutral. It can't be giving away points in field position. But one of the issues with the special teams was it was all defensive side of the guys on the ball doing it. They didn't have really any offensive players playing special teams. A little bit of Tyree Cleveland, but that's where a Seth Williams could come into play. I mean, guys like that, you bring in Boone, who's a great special teams player. So now you've got two offensive guys playing key roles on special teams. I would think, you know, a guy like Jonathan Cooper, if he's healthy, and he'll be on my Meet the Pick segment tonight on Denver 7 at 6 p.m. That kind of guy played a lot of special teams early in his career at Ohio State. Those kind of guys are younger, more athletic. That was a problem for their special teams in the last few years. They were just duct tape, chicken wire, MacGyver special teams, and they were consistently just outmanned. So I don't mind it. It wasn't the deepest draft, Sean, and because of COVID, there was some scouting issues, lack of intel. So maybe you hit with a Seth Williams, or he's the fifth receiver, and then you've got Tyree Cleveland in special teams. Maybe Kendall Hinton is special teams, and he makes it as a quasi-receiver special teams. But they got to get better there, and they need more help from offensive players. And it really starts with Boone on special teams.
You're listening to KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver, and our Denver Broncos insider, Troy Rank. Follow him on Twitter at Troy Rank. And by the way, today, go to denverfan.com and make sure if you missed it, download the show that he did today. It was in for Sandy on Orlando. Make sure you get all of that from Troy as well. Thanks for the time today, especially a little bit of the overtime with us today. Troy, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Troy.
You got it, guys. All right, take care. Have a great show.
All right, thanks so much. Our Denver Broncos insider, Troy Rank, is presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.